Jackson, and welcome to CBS Mornings on the Go. Ahead on this Tuesday, June 30th, it seems like people will bet on anything these days, even Taylor Swift's upcoming wedding. Nobody outside of Swift's inner circle knows anything, but millions are betting on platforms like Kalshi. Jolene Kent has the story. Plus, speaking of money, Jill Schlesinger is here to talk about her new podcast. Dollar Dollar Jill has some very, very smart financial advice just for you. We've also got Adam Yamaguchi in the building with a look at the online trend called looks maxing. Find out why some young people are doing dangerous things to change the way they look. And if you don't know the Christian music star Brandon Lake, the Grammy winner wants to change that. He told Jan Crawford how he's expanding his reach to an even wider audience. All that and more ahead. But we are going to begin this hour with extreme weather. We've been talking about it, including wildfires in the West. New fires have sprung up in Colorado in the last 24 hours, forcing people from their homes. Meantime, a heat dome is putting tens of millions at risk. CBS News meteorologist Rob Marciano is following all of this. Rob, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Nate. From Central Park, where it's actually a very nice morning. People are out here trying to get their exercise on, walk their dogs and such before the heat really starts to build this afternoon. But it's really just the start here in New York City as this heat dome builds off to the east. This city and the metro area is now under a extreme heat warning that'll probably last right into the weekend. All the pink areas are where those warnings exist. So that's over 100 million Americans in dozens of big cities like Nashville, St. Louis, Chicago, you name it, they're in it. And this jet stream is surging north, the heat dome in place. That means high pressure, not just at the surface, but top to bottom in the atmosphere, over land, lots of sinking air, sunshine baking that ground and heating things up dramatically. And that's where we get the temperatures well up into the 90s. But with the humidity, it'll feel like well up and over 100 degrees in Chicago, in Cincinnati, in Pittsburgh. And this all shifts to the east tomorrow. And so New York gets into it. And by the time we get to Thursday and Friday, we're talking about actual high temperatures that will be record shattering over the next several days. So try to stay cool and think responsibly when you make your holiday plans. And Eva, come on and get out here with me. We'll take a little jog around the park before it gets too warm this afternoon.
You know how I feel about sweating. Thanks, though, Rob.
Thanks, though.
Stay dry out there. Now to some drama over whether Prince Harry will visit the UK with his family. Meghan and their kids were set to join him on this trip. But now it appears those plans are in doubt because of a dispute over security. Holly Williams has more from London. Holly, good morning.
Good morning, Eva. Well, Prince Harry's request for British police security during his visit here in the coming days was rejected last week, leaving Harry distraught. That's according to his spokesperson. And the upshot is total confusion. We still don't know whether Meghan and their children will join him here.
Harry's coming to the UK to promote the Invictus Games for wounded military veterans, which he founded, scheduled to be held here next year. Harry and Meghan's team said the couple had accepted an offer to stay on a royal estate during the visit, perhaps a step towards reconciliation with Harry's father, the King, who's been treated for cancer. But outside their royal accommodation, the UK authorities have reportedly decided the family will not be offered any police protection, which is funded by British taxpayers.
Do you think that British taxpayers should pay for his security while he's here?
I absolutely do not. In fact, I don't believe they should pay for the royals at all.
He is part of the royal family, so there's an element where, yes, we have to pay for it.
Should not have to pay, definitely not.
Since stepping down as a so-called working royal and moving to the US in 2020, Harry says he's been given inferior security in the UK, putting him and his family at risk. He even challenged the British government in court, but lost the case last year.
I can't see a world in which I would be bringing my wife and children back to the UK at this point.
A statement from Harry and Meghan's team said that the Duke is, quote, exploring every available option to give his children the opportunity to enjoy the UK. Now, the last time that Harry and Meghan were in this country together was for the late Queen's funeral back in 2022. Vlad.
All right, Holly, thank you very much.
We have new details this morning about an urgent mission to save a NASA science satellite, the Swift Observatory. And I'm not talking about Taylor's wedding watch. It is falling back into the Earth's atmosphere, and it is at risk of burning up. Mark Strassman is here to tell us about the daring rescue operation. Mark, good morning.
Good morning, Nate. We've got a Swift theme going on here, as you probably know. The backstory is this. Some recent intense solar activity hit the telescope hard. It's losing altitude faster and faster. And NASA is desperate to save it. And the race is on to boost its altitude before it's too late.
For unimaginable energy and power, nothing in the cosmos compares to a gamma ray burst, the death of a massive star.
A nuclear weapon going off doesn't even compare to the magnitude of energy that comes out of these things. And it's literally the biggest explosions in the universe.
Sean Domagal-Goldman, NASA's head of astrophysics, told us nothing pinpoints gamma ray bursts like the orbiting Swift Observatory.
We have ignition.
NASA launched the $500 million Swift telescope in 2004. It's been a first alert for scientists to pivot telescopes to the right place in the sky. But Swift's falling back to Earth faster than expected, and without help, it will burn up in the atmosphere.
I mean, how close are you to losing Swift?
If we don't do something, it will come out of orbit by the end of this calendar year.
So the clock is ticking.
The clock is ticking.
In an unprecedented rescue mission, a plane will take off from a remote Pacific island and drop an airborne rocket. NASA hopes it will launch a space robot into orbit to dock with Swift, and with centimeter-level precision, grab it with three robotic arms. The robot's engines would fire to raise Swift's orbit and extend its life another 10 years.
We're trying to do one of the most technically complex things in space on an incredibly accelerated timeline.
Gonhee Lee is CEO of Catalyst Space, the startup NASA hired to rescue Swift less than a year ago.
Our job was to move very quickly and get on orbit.
Success not guaranteed, though, right?
You're right. I mean, this is a high-risk, high-reward mission.
The goal of the mission, which launches tomorrow, is to raise Swift's orbit about 150 miles higher than it is now, which would take about 4 months. If successful, the mindset about satellites could also change from disposable to serviceable. Could be a blueprint to extend the life of other aging satellites, including the Hubble Space Telescope.
So think
of it this way. Oh, yeah. And it turns out you can call AAA to get a tow in space.
Okay. Well, I like the guy on your piece. He was like, yeah, high stakes indeed.
Yeah, he's thinking my boss is watching and these are expensive projects.
Right. They really are.
Mark, thank you very much.
Of course.
Always good to have you in New York. Time for a look at the stories that caught our eye. With us now, the beautiful, lovely Kelly O'Grady. What's happening?
Oh, Vlad, good morning to you. All right, let's start with a disturbing trend in the NBA that's growing. Another player has been indicted on charges of illegal gambling. So former Pistons player Malik Beasley, along with five others, are accused of trying to rig NBA games. Prosecutors say Beasley conspired with another former player after Beasley racked up millions in gambling debt. Now, Beasley's attorney told CBS News that he maintains he's innocent. Next up, turning to stunning video of an explosion at an apartment complex in Washington State. I want you to take a look at this. Now you can see firefighters inspecting the building after responding to reports of smoke when all of a sudden the blast sends flames shooting from an open door. Amazingly, none of the firefighters or the residents were hurt. Ooh. Investigators say a failed electrical transformer is likely to blame. Thank goodness, though, no one was hurt in that. Yeah. All right, next, a political battle is brewing in Alaska. So Republican Senator Dan Sullivan is set to face off in a primary against this guy. His name? Also Dan Sullivan.
No way.
Dan J. Sullivan, to be exact. Now, if you think that might be confusing, you are not alone, my friend. Senator Sullivan took his complaint to court, accusing his opponent of intentionally trying to confuse voters. Alaska Supreme Court ruled Monday that Daniel J. Sullivan can appear on the ballot, and the Dan Sullivan showdown is set to take place this August. If you're in Alaska, just look twice on that ballot.
Wild.
Crazy.
I like the photo of him in a hoodie.
I know.
With the smirk on his face.
This is the Dan Sullivan you want.
I know what I'm doing here. All right, one more for you. One Colorado man got quite the surprise when he went to get into his truck. You can see as he opens the door, he's greeted by a bear. He runs to the driver's side, only to be confronted by the uninvited passenger through an open window and fell to the ground. Eventually, he grabs a piece of wood from his truck and coaxes the bear out the opposite side. So I think the moral of the story is check your ballot, check your car. Okay.
Wow. But it's so interesting how bears, I'm guessing the bear used his, like, big old paw to like open the door
but
and just get in there.
Door handles aren't that big.
No. Which makes it funny if you are one of those people who one day gets up to those fancy door handles and you're like, how do I get in?
Yeah, but why did he try to fight the bear to get him out? I'm calling my wife. Hey, I'm headed to the dealership. We're getting a new car. I'm leaving the old one.
Kelly O'Grady, thank you so much. America 250 isn't the only celebration people are excited for this weekend. The wedding of Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce could be just days away, even though there's been no official confirmation that it's even happening. People are betting millions on this. Jolene Kent is here with more. Girl, this is crazy.
Eva, good morning. It is crazy. While the couple has stayed tight-lipped about their big day, prediction markets, which are often used to bet on sports and politics, are now seeing an influx of action from Swifties. More than $2 million has been bet just on where Taylor and Travis might tie the knot.
The details may be scarce, but something is underway at New York City's Madison Square Garden.
I guess Taylor Swift goes big.
Even though no events are publicly scheduled this week, on Monday, our CBS News camera spotted several trucks with equipment labeled Garden Party being loaded into the venue, sparking even more speculation that Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce could be hosting some kind of celebration there. And the buzz continues to drive big spending on prediction markets, including Kalshi and Polymarket, platforms where users can place bets on the finer details of one of the biggest celebrity weddings of the century. Like gambling researcher Jonathan Cohen.
Prediction markets are filling this void in our society of turning every single thing into a gambling contract. And when celebrities get married, people want to gamble on celebrities getting married.
Hey, Taylor. Hey, Travis. Hey, Taylor.
Kelce says the wedding has already generated more than $4.5 million in wagers. According to Kelce, New York leads the way for a wedding location. And Kelce's brother, Jason, is the top pick for groomsmen. As for bridesmaids, Swift's childhood best friend, Abigail Anderson Berard, holds the lead. Kelce has seen the number of female traders double in the past year.
You sort of need to, like, have the exit velocity to break out of this sort of male space. And maybe, just maybe, a Taylor Swift wedding, an event so clearly sort of in the female fan wheelhouse, could be the way to do that.
Again, are ready for it here. This year alone, by the way, Kelce has already seen $600 million in trading on entertainment markets alone. That is double the amount from last year. The growth is massive, and certainly this is only helping.
I mean, like you said, if you got that kind of money to bet on whether or not this is going down this weekend,
you might
who
have some inside scoop.
Who has that kind of money?
Yeah, I know.
But you know what? The most common bets are really small. $10 here, $25 here.
Okay.
And maybe taking advantage of what you might feel is a parasocial relationship with your favorite celebrity. That's where these prediction markets really get you. You feel like you know something, even though a lot of the people who are invited to whatever this is don't seem to know much of anything.
It's why people bet on games. They feel like they're part of the sport.
Exactly. Buying in literally, right?
It takes more to part me from my heart.
Exactly. I'm with
same
you.
Same here.
I'm the same. Eva, you and I are the same. Jolene, always good to have you.
Good to see you guys.
Thank you. Coming up, if you have questions about money, Jill Schlesinger is here to help. She'll tell us about her brand new podcast where she answers your question and she debunks bad financial advice. Plus, meet the mega popular artist who's redefining Christian music. Brandon Lake tells Jan Crawford how he found his calling.
This morning, we have a very special edition of Money Watch. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger is launching a new video and audio podcast called Money Moves with Jill Schlesinger. Twice a week, Jill and her producer and co-host, Mark Talercio, will answer questions from listeners. They'll offer advice to help you make the best financial decisions. And they'll challenge some of the money myths that you hear online or from family and friends that we grew up with. Dollar Dollar Jill is here right now. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, so you say this podcast.
Yeah, congrats. Thank you.
Definitely. Congrats first and foremost. You say this podcast for people who want to take control of their financial lives while having a little fun along the way.
Yeah, because that is what this is all about. I mean, I don't want anyone to live like a monk and be stuck saying, I'm saving and all I can do is save. And of course, you guys know I love saving and investing, but I think there's a nice marriage of doing that, but also enjoying yourself along the way. You know, when we do segments here, there's a couple, 3 minutes. The joy of this show is that for around 20 minutes, we get to cover whatever's going on in that day or that week and also be able to talk to people live and answer their questions in real time, which is so much fun.
There's a lot out in the world about finance and money. You're trying to sort of cut through that for people. How do you suggest that they figure out what's real and what's not when it comes to their money?
Well, first of all, they should definitely send us anything they see online, because what we know is that there are this group of people, they call themselves finfluencers, financial influencers, and they're all over social media and they're telling you, like, get rich quick, or they're selling you a system. And what we want to do is we want to say, hey, some of the advice online is legitimate. There are really fabulous credentialed people, but the vast majority, these are sales pitches. These are people who are trying to separate you from your dollar. Sometimes it's just a sale, but sometimes it's actually dangerous. Mm. We ran across people who are saying, oh, you should borrow all this money so you can buy real estate. There's no downside. There's always downside. And of course, if it's too good to be true, it usually is. I think what we have in this show is the ability to also bring together the generations. Now, we've talked about this a ton on this show, where we'll hear from somebody who will say, hey, my kid is such a lackard and not saving. But I think that there's a real lack of appreciation for how different the economy is right now for 20s, 30s, young 40s than it was for someone who's in their 50s or 60s. And Vlad, I think you understand this, that so often we're lucky in our situations. Like if you happened to be born and it was a huge bull market, and that's great and fantastic. But if you've come of age during the pandemic where the labor market's changing, sometimes the advice you're getting from those older folks may not be relevant to you.
That's right. So let's get a reality check on some of that outdated advice that people might be getting. And this actually sort of applies to a lot of people, including myself, where my wife, I remember her saying, you know, you've been renting your whole life. We got to buy. Renting is just throwing your money away. Is that outdated now?
I think it is. I think that it does not take into account the fact that house prices have basically doubled over the last 5 or 6 years. Mortgage rates have doubled. Homeowners insurance has gone up. Taxes have gone up. For a lot of people, it's really difficult to make the choice to buy. Even if you can afford the payments, you're tying up a whole bunch of money in a house. That money could be growing for you, invested, giving you opportunity. All of these things are really important. And of course, I'm always about running the numbers. I'm not saying you shouldn't buy. I'm just saying to give that advice to someone starting out or someone who's not in a position can really be detrimental to their forward progress. I'm all about forward progress. Man, I think the best thing about saving and investing is about being able to have opportunity.
Yeah.
This show is a great opportunity for me. I'm very grateful for it. But it's also an opportunity for me to say, hey, I'm a certified financial planner. It is time for me to impart the wisdom to the younger generation and also call out my cohorts, my oldsters.
That's right.
And say, come on now, let's go.
All right, Jill Schlesinger, hey, I appreciate you. You know what? I like Dollar Dollar Jill, but I'm going to give you a new nickname.
Yeah.
Cardi J, because you're making money moves.
Oh, yeah.
Money Moves with Jill Schlesinger. It drops every Tuesday and Thursday. Scan the QR code on your screen to subscribe wherever you like to listen to your podcast. And you can watch it on YouTube. This morning, we are taking a closer look at the growing and controversial online world of looks maxing. The viral trend encourages young men to maximize their appearance. You may have seen influencer like Braden Peters, known online as Clavicular, making headlines for a string of incidents, including an apparent drug overdose, which was actually caught on camera.
He is one of the most prominent voices pushing the more extreme side of looks maxing. Adam Yamaguchi digs into why this trend is resonating with so many young men and why some experts say its biggest impact may be the mindset it promotes.
Everyone's going to be talking about it.
Spend a few minutes on any college campus with Kareem Shami, and it's clear people recognize him.
Can I get a picture?
That's because Shami has cultivated millions of followers online, where he's known as K-Shami, the godfather of looks maxing. Looks maxing is a viral movement, particularly among young men, focused on maximizing their physical appearance. Shami got famous after documenting his transformation online and now posts advice on how others can follow suit.
Suck your tongue to, yeah, there we go. Like,
he showed us how to do a popular looks maxing technique called mewing, where you place your tongue to the roof of your mouth. He says it can help create a sharper looking jawline in photos.
Okay. So I'm mouth breathing.
Yeah, you see how like that kind of falls down there?
Yeah.
Now I want you to suction it up, now back up, down, that's mewing. Congratulations.
But others online are practicing it every day, hoping to permanently restructure their jawline. The American Association of Orthodontists says mewing's jawline sculpting claims are as thin as dental floss. Shami also gave us a run through of how the looks maxing community measures the perfect face.
It's gonna be like your mid-face ratio, for instance, the distance from here to here versus here to here.
Wow,
yeah.
Okay.
And then we have like the nailer base and how it compares to the mouth.
Yeah, okay. I'm getting really self-conscious as
well. No.
Because I'm like, he's looking at me and judging me.
No, I'm not, trust me.
He says looks maxing isn't an internet trend. Oh. It's a response to a dating world that's turned digital.
The internet's changed the entire landscape. And now you're forced to compete with this huge market. What's gonna differentiate you? Is it gonna be your money? Is it gonna be your religion? No, it's gonna be the most obvious thing, which is gonna be your social media profile.
Looks maxing has even inspired some college students to cash in on the demand.
What if you do our face scanner and see like how you would fare against like the average looks maxing?
Sure.
Anish Polakala and Samir Bishaw created an app called the Max app that rates your physical appearance on a scale from 1 to 10.
It's gonna measure his ratios to the golden ratio, like how close it is to the perfect face.
It is a 6.5 out of 10.
Which is, no, that's better than anything.
I gotta do it, What they recommended was, one was the skin max. They thought his coloring could be more ideal, you know.
Color max?
Coloring max, okay.
While the trend may seem harmless, controversial looks maxers like Braden Peters, known online as Clavicular, who has hundreds of thousands of followers, are promoting more extreme measures known as hard maxing. It involves things like bone smashing.
We're gonna do the sides of our chin.
Where you hit your cheekbones repeatedly, hoping the broken bones grow back more defined.
No medical evidence supports bone smashing, and the biology actually runs the opposite way. So hitting a bone doesn't build it, it breaks it down. And so there are very real risks here. Broken jaws that heal crooked, permanent numbness or even infection. And if the blows are hard enough, even a concussion.
Clavicular has also been vocal about steroid and drug use to help with his looks. In April, YouTube terminated his account for the second time for violating its policies.
I use crystal meth, so methamphetamine, as a stimulant and to lean max, right? It's very suppressant of your appetite.
I think it's really dangerous when people buy into elements of wellness culture that are not actually research-based.
Tristan Bridges is a sociology professor at UC Santa Barbara.
It worries me because it's a form of manhood and is about maximizing your own status relative to other people. I think that can lead to lots of dissatisfaction.
What do parents need to know?
I think it's important to have conversations with kids about appearance and helping them understand that you don't have to evaluate how good you look relative to everyone else.
It's also important to note that this is a business. Behind some of these influencers who have millions and millions of followers, oftentimes they're peddling a product, maybe peptides or supplements, to help you ascend the scale of looks max.
While they're making money on the back end.
100%.
That's an important detail, which is that you are influencing people to monetize money for yourself while potentially giving out dangerous advice, as Dr.
And preying on their insecurities.
Absolutely, absolutely. The more insecure the audience, the greater the possible returns.
It's not lost on me that we're becoming Zoolander and Idiocracy. Like, those are just movies, but in fact, it's playing out in real life. Adam, Looks maxing us, man. Good to see you.
Always with this guy.
That's right.
So handsome.
If you or someone you know is struggling with body image or self-harm, text 988. We'll be right back. Oh, man. Four Tops, Motown. Welcome back to CBS Mornings. It's time to bring you the stories that are talk of the table this morning. Eva, you are in pole position.
Okay, my talk of the table is a new CBS News poll ahead of America's 250th birthday. One of the questions asked, what is America's greatest invention? This should actually make you feel really good about being an American. What's your favorite of the American inventions? Do you have one?
Ooh. That is a good question.
American invention. Probably.
Does the vehicle count?
Yeah.
The telephone.
Okay,
all right.
Yeah.
Telephone counts, yep.
Yeah.
Okay, number six, the airplane.
Oh, yeah.
And then the telephone and the automobile. The internet is number three. You can thank Thomas Edison for creating the light bulb, number two. But take a look at this. The majority of those polled say that democracy and freedom is America's greatest invention. And just because I'm a little bit of a history nerd and I made sure to look it up this morning, democracy was actually started in Athens, ancient Athens.
I was going to say,
but a lot of people believe,
or the Magna Carta.
Right. A lot of people believe that America did democracy bigger and better. So there you go. Yay, America.
Well, that's what we typically do. We do it bigger and better.
Yes.
All right. So my talk of the table is Mexican authorities searching for their very own Batman or Batwoman.
I am Batman.
That's right. An unknown vigilante. He is hunting down alleged motorbike thieves
this
and leaving
so cool.
them taped to lampposts for police to find. The mysterious crime fighter also draws on the alleged criminal's faces, including writing the Spanish word for thief on the man's forehead, sometimes even a little mustache. So I'm fascinated by this because this is something we all think about. Like, could I do this?
How are doing that?
I know.
That's what I'm saying.
That's why he's Batman.
And then also... But is he saying that, or is he saying, yo soy el hombre Murciélago?
What?
That's I'm the Batman.
Can't be just one person. It's got to be multiple people.
Or like you said, it could be Batwoman.
Or right? Batwoman.
That's right. But I love this idea. I mean, like, it's cool.
It is cool.
Clearly, it can be done.
Yeah,
it can be done.
Can be done.
My talk on the table is a new study suggesting pop songs overall have become more, are you ready for this, immoral and meaner.
Hmm.
Scientific reports analyze the lyrics of hundreds of thousands of English language songs covering the last six decades. They found lyrics relating to harm, cheating, and rule breaking have climbed sharply, while themes on like care, purity, and loyalty have fallen, sadly. For example, songs like Can't Help Falling in Love, you know, falling in love with you, and What a Wonderful World. They idealize lifelong love, but recent pop hits often emphasize hookups or emotional nonchalance with songs like Cardi B's WAP or Miley Cyrus's Flowers. I mean, I was looking at a bunch of these in the 1960s up until the 1980s. Hits often address society as a whole, what's going on, Marvin Gaye, John Lennon's Imagine, We Are the World. Modern hits frequently focus on personal experience, like Olivia Rodrigo's Driver's License or Anti-Hero by Taylor Swift or Happier Than Ever by Billie Eilish. There's a whole list of songs that you can go and compare and see how lyrics have changed over the years.
I feel like I've noticed that a lot of the hits that we praise today are about heartbreak.
Yeah.
You know, being disappointed by a lover. And I know that this isn't new, but I feel like artists are leaning on that more often.
They are. Look, going back earlier generations, Stand By Me, Bridge Over Troubled Water, Lean On Me, You've Got a Friend. Today, it's Before He Cheats, Good For You, Kill Bill, right?
Do you think that's just because we're talking about these things more openly and publicly? Because, you know, cheating and being brokenhearted isn't new.
I think that's it.
That's a tale as old as time.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's also lucrative. Like, artists know, like, when you pull at somebody's heartstrings and they're invested in your heartbreak, they're gonna listen to you. They're gonna stream.
Look, there have been songs about heartbreak forever. Crazy, Patsy Cline, and I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry, Hank Williams, but it seems like it's more prevalent now.
Yeah. Or are we just our grandparents now? On America's 250th birthday, thousands of high school students have been putting their knowledge of the Constitution and U.S. history to the test. Tonight's CBS special, the Presidential 1776 Award, the Ultimate Civics Showdown, follows the top 20 students. They're competing for $250,000 in scholarship money. Three finalists will meet President Trump in the Oval Office. The competition is sponsored by the U.S. Department of Education. Host Mario Lopez has a preview.
It began online with the Impossible Civics Test. 8,000 high school students from all over the country competing for a share of $250,000 in scholarship money.
USA! USA! 1776!
Top 200 move on to regional competitions at presidential libraries and museums. Boston, Atlanta, Dallas, Grand Rapids, and Yorba Linda.
If they bless me up with that question, I'll show up.
As the field narrowed, pressure increased. Could you answer this?
In the Battle of Yorktown, how did the French alliance lead to the combined victory?
Just 20 competitors advanced to nationals, meeting here in the nation's capital. That fierce battle narrowing the field by more than half.
Which amendment ended slavery?
13th.
Which office ensures that all laws are faithfully executed?
Executive.
What right does the 19th Amendment guarantee?
Women. The right to women to vote.
Which amendment set the voting age to 18?
23rd.
What is the term length for a United States senator?
6 years.
Where must all bills for raising revenue originate?
Congress.
Which amendment repealed another amendment?
21st.
What proportion of senators must agree for a treaty to be ratified?
2/3.
According to the 22nd Amendment, how many times can a person
Twice.
Be elected? Which branch of the government may
Legislative.
Declare? What did the 18th Amendment do? Time.
These are the 8 high school students now competing for the Presidential 1776 Award. The ultimate civic showdown.
I love this so much. You can watch the Presidential 1776 Award, the ultimate civic showdown, tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus tomorrow.
It's the ultimate antidote to people who are looks maxing. Smart kids. Putting the spotlight on smart kids.
I love it. Yeah.
Smart maxing.
Smart maxing,
smart
exactly.
Kids. Yep. Hands of the
author. That is Brandon Lake's song, The Author, from his new live concert album, King of Hearts in the Room. Lake is one of the biggest names in Christian music. The 6-time Grammy winner has collaborated with artists like Jelly Roll and Lainey Wilson. Jan Crawford caught up with him on tour in San Antonio. She learned how a preacher's kid is finding new fans. That's what it's
This isn't just about entertainment. This is like an encounter. People's lives are being changed. They're walking out better than they came in.
For Brandon Lake, the shows are about more than music.
Would you say that music is, in a way, your ministry?
I feel like music is what God has called me to, the gift that he's given me, and that's how I'm able to share this message and reach people.
That message of hope and redemption and praise by the Grammy-winning singer-songwriter is helping redefine Christian music. After all that I've done, I've been forgiven. With more than 4 billion streams and sold-out arenas for shows he calls a joy bomb, bringing people of all ages and ethnicities closer to Jesus. Growing up a preacher's kid in South Carolina, Lake found his own calling singing in church.
My parents just, they made it fun. And I think what church is supposed to really be about, and that's community and sharing and everything that you have.
That connection with community has been a focus throughout his career. He didn't have the money to make his first record, so he got creative.
So I decided, okay, well, I'm going to have to ask people for money and raise this money. And I said, if you give me a certain amount of money, I'll tattoo your name on my leg. And so I have 23 last names tattooed on my thigh.
23.
To get that record done. Yep.
Lake independently released that first album, Closer, 10 years ago.
And I was willing to do anything short of sin to get this record
anything
done.
Anything short of sin.
Yeah.
The hits on Billboard's Hot Christian Song chart came quick. 6 number one songs. But as his career was skyrocketing, Lake found himself mentally at the bottom.
When I didn't have the next songwrite invite, or I didn't have the next song I was excited about, or the next show, I started to panic, but I was too prideful to tell my wife what I was experiencing. So I'm having some weird thoughts, dark thoughts. I'm like, this is not who I am. And I'm on the mountaintop right now. My dreams are coming true. And it's just crazy. I guess I'd say a lot of people's lowest moments come from a low moment. And mine came from a high moment.
He says he leaned on God and friends and family, finding balance on his farm in South Carolina with his wife and 3 sons. But he saw how everyone struggles, and you can see that compassion in his music. Yeah, the Jesus I know now, and his his community is continuing to grow. Many of the 36-year-old's high moments involve collaborations, like this one with country superstar Lainey Wilson.
Why has that been so important to you?
Here's the thing. The songs are cool, but I think God loves collaborators.
His collaboration with Jelly Roll went platinum. And during a stop on his King of Hearts tour in San Antonio, we saw Lake join with another country star, Cody Johnson.
We didn't know each other.
Yeah.
And out of this song, not only did it help shape people's lives, it's helping him kind of segue into the country music realm. When a cowboy
prays. There are people out there that they would never consider them religious or even believers.
Right.
Like, what would you say your music offers them?
The best thing I can do is offer my story, what God has done in my life, and allow God to do the rest. Like, I'm not out here trying to, like, you know, beat people with a Bible and, you know, fire and brimstone. Like, I don't think that's effective. I think my songs are offerings. And they're open doors. There's no greater, stronger, higher
name. That's who I pray. For CBS Mornings, I'm Jan Crawford.
It's beautiful. I love the fact that, you know, he says that his music is an open door to everybody. It really feels like that.
And that he was honest that at the height, he didn't feel great.
Mm. Being honest. That everybody
struggles.
Surprising
for people.
Right.
Yeah.
An open door, an invite. All right, that does it for us. We will see you tomorrow on CBS Mornings.